Yo, what's up, everybody? It's Brooks and Blaine back at you guys with another Abrazo Football Podcast on your St. Patrick's Day. Brooks, my friend, happy St. Patrick's Day. How you doing?
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Oh, I'm good. I went on a nice run with the run club this morning, so got it started early. Feeling good. How about you?
Well, you know, I didn't run, but I did get an early start, put in an hour on the bike. Right, put an hour on the bike, watched the Chelsea match, wore the green shirt for St. Patty's Day.
During the match?
Did I wear the shirt? No. I just barely put this on. It gets sweaty. Okay. Don't be silly. Actually, I didn't even really sweat, to be honest. So it was an easy run. I have soccer later today, so that's when I'll run. But I just wanted to get some cardio in. So yeah, day's off to a great start. But what's not off to a great start is, okay, as we know, Euro 2024 coming up this summer, the country of Germany. We, off camera, were looking at the England squad, and one of your defenders from Arsenal came up, one Ben White. So, and you informed me that he had just signed a new contract at Arsenal, so congratulations for that, because he's a great player. However, he, from what I've seen, informed Arsenal to inform Gareth Southgate that he is not available for selection for this international window or the Euros. Can you please tell me more? Because this, I mean, he's a good player. I want him to play for England. I want it to come home. Why isn't Ben White playing for the Three Lions? Brooks, speak on this, please.
I don't know. I feel like there's like a... I don't know if you heard in the past, but during the World Cup, he was obviously sent home. They say it was like an argument with him and the assistant coach. But like during the interview a couple of days ago, Gareth Southgate was like not having any of that. He didn't want anybody thinking that his assistant had any negative feelings for any of his players. So take that however you will. But I don't know. I just feel like, you know, he knew he wasn't going to get picked. At Gareth Southgate, we were talking about this off camera, like Gareth Southgate has his favorites. Doesn't matter really how bad they're playing, they're always going to get picked and play. How bad they're playing for the club, they're always going to kind of make it to the squad and like make it on the field for England, whatever. And Ben White is not one of those guys. No matter how good he is, no matter how well he's playing for the first place team, Arsenal. So I just think, I mean, from what I've been hearing and seeing out there, it's like he was like, I'm not trying to like leave England, like leave London, get out of the groove just to like go and sit on the bench list like for the next 2 weeks. It does not interest me. And so, I mean, I kind of can't blame him. Honestly, I can't blame him. Like, yo, if I'm not going to play, it doesn't mean that much to me. So it's also, it's friendlies. I mean, I get that like this will give him a chance to maybe go to the Euros, but I don't know. I respect his decision, but there's really no clear reason as to what's happening, and nobody really wants to speak on it. But I mean, I think the Ben White did say, like, I just don't want to sit the bench and like not play.
Okay, I'm glad you said that. Okay, because that's what I thought I heard. Like, and I want that. I mean, I was going to ask you if you didn't mention that, if it is because he doesn't think he's actually going to play. This is kind of like the Rabiot theory, right?
Yeah.
It's like, if I'm not a number one choice, don't bring me. Like, my time is too valuable to be like, you know, a second string or a backup plan. Now, I'll give a special shout out to a backup plan who actually came through and did work for their country. And this might not be a surprise to you. It's a Chelsea player, Brazilian winger, Willian, replaced Neymar in the 2019, I believe, Copa America. He wore the number 10, and they actually won the Copa. So shout out to him for being willing to be the replacement player. Got the number 10. I never got that shirt, though. A Willian number 10 shirt for Brazil would be fire. I couldn't get my hands
on it. That's like a Ronaldo number 9 for Madrid.
Yeah, exactly. Back, so anyway, but yeah, you said you agree. You do not blame Ben White for saying, like, screw that. I'm not coming to sit on the bench, leaving my family.
I don't know if I agree, but I don't blame him, you know? Like, because if you flip it, you know, like, if you flip it, or, like, for me, for example, like, let's say that I was, you know, I would probably, if I was in his position, knowing that I still wouldn't play, I would still probably want to be like, I made it. I've been called up X amount of times or something. But I also, on the other hand, like, I get it. Like, he's recently married, just signed a big contract. Arsenal's doing amazing. Like, why jeopardize any of this stuff? It doesn't really mean anything. Even if, and then on top of it, like, if you're not gonna play, like, if you know you're not gonna play, yeah, like, what's the point? So I understand it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I feel like when Gareth Southgate is like, it's widely known that, like you said, he has his favorites, and it doesn't matter what you do, you're not his first choice, and unless someone, their leg is broken off, you're not going to start. So, and like you said, it's a friendly, and nothing would change in the Euros, so why bother? Like if it was another coach where you thought like, oh yeah, like there's like I definitely could end up playing, or like I'm
Yeah,
going
like
to
I can
play.
fight for a chance to
Yeah.
play.
But
Yeah,
I'm
that's
not
different.
gonna play. Why? I'm with like when I saw that was the reason, I was like, you know what? Like maybe more players should send a message like this to Mr. Southgate, cause like it's like I'm not gonna come and like fill the bench. And like again, there's nothing wrong with being a bench player or a reserve player, but it's like when you know there is no legitimate, you are just a name. You are just like you are literally a bench warmer. Like you are like you're gonna get garbage minutes, maybe, possibly, but then again, also maybe not.
It's like we were all talking about this when Ivan Toney was called up and he didn't even get like off out of his warm-ups, right? The first I was like, that's disrespectful. I feel like that's disrespectful, especially for someone who's as good as, I mean, again, we're not, who knows what would have happened if Benoit was chosen, but we're assuming that it would have just been, riding the bench till. This man is starting every single game for an Arsenal team who's currently top of the league and, just advanced in the Champions League, and he plays an integral part in all of that. Like, it would be a bit like coming on in the 92nd minute with, 40 seconds left. It's like, no, I'm not. It's not what I need.
Who wasn't? Didn't someone? I can't remember who it was. Like a couple seasons ago, a player was asked to come on in the garbage minutes, and they refused. Who was it? I can't.
Ronaldo.
That's right. When he was at Man U under Erik ten Hag, he's like, nah, like, not
No, yeah,
me,
like, what's the
not
point?
me. Like, you got it twisted. You got it twisted. Okay. Well, speaking of Arsenal and contract extensions, I think you might have seen this clip on social media. There's a young PSG fan slash Arsenal fan that was talking to Mbappe. Did you see this clip where he asked Mbappe if he would consider coming to Arsenal, like Thierry Henry?
No,
Oh, okay.
no.
Okay, well, there's this clip. It's this kid in a PSG jersey. He's like, "Yo, Mbappe, like, would you come to Arsenal?" And like, Mbappe laughs, and
Oh
he's
man.
like, "Oh, Arsenal never, too cold." Like everyone, it was a joke, but he was like, "Arsenal never, it's too cold in London." So I wanted to get your reaction to that. I mean, it
Dang.
was obviously a joke, but I mean.
Yeah, but it's better than what he remember when, like, I guess Tom Holland asked him too, is like, hey, come to Spurs, and he was just like, just laughed, just like, no, I'm not going to Tottenham. Like, that's not, at least he said it's too cold. At least that was the reasoning behind it. I didn't see that. That's pretty funny. I gotta look that up, but that's funny. That's funny.
It was funny. It was funny.
But also, like, Paris is cold. I
No,
don't like, I
it's not as cold or rainy, but it's still cold. Like I was looking at the weather in Paris, and I didn't realize how cold it is in the springtime. Like it's basically cold until June, from at least.
Yeah, last time we were there was in April, and I was like underdressed in in still like a sweater and a light jacket. I was like, this is not what I want.
He talking nonsense.
Yeah, but I mean, compared to Madrid, I mean, actually Madrid gets cold in like the winter, but not, I mean, Madrid is hot. He's gonna be loving that weather. Well, me too hot. I was in Madrid in like June, July. Thought I was gonna die. I went on a run, like 12:30 through the park, beautiful park. But I was like, I don't stop on my runs. I had to stop a couple times. That's how hot
Oh,
and
how
dry it
hot and
was in
dry.
Madrid.
Dude, I've never had a desire to go to Madrid. Now I feel like I'm gonna get very well acquainted with the city. They got everyone. Well, oh, that's what I was gonna say. So that's why I brought this up. Ivan Toney, did you? Okay, so there was another piece. So Kylian Mbappe, we know he's going to Real Madrid. He said Arsenal's too cold. Ivan Toney, I thought, you know, after the season, Brentford will sell him, they'll get their money. I figured he would stay in London, you know, come play for, you know, one of these clubs or the Arsenal club. But in an interview, they asked him what his idea scenario is for the summer transfer window. And this is a quote, but not verbatim. But he said, you know, Brentford will cash out, or yeah, Brentford will cash out, get their money. I go play in Madrid. And he wasn't talking Atletico. He's talking about Real Madrid. Ivan Toney has put himself in the conversation to now go to Real Madrid. I just also want your reaction on that. I mean, he could. Why not? I never considered that. I just figured he wanted to play for like Arsenal or Chelsea, like win a Premier League. But he said
Yeah, I
Madrid.
saw that.
Okay.
I did see that. Or I didn't know exactly what he said, but I saw he's something along the lines of like in La Liga or something. Just like
Yeah, he wants to play at Real Madrid. He wants the number 9 shirt at Real Madrid. That's what Ivan Toney wants to do.
Yeah, Real Madrid. That's funny. I mean, I think good for him. Good for him for like backing himself and trying to promote himself, get himself out there. So I mean, Real Madrid haven't had a true striker. I mean, it's been a season
Benzema.
without Benzema, and they're doing just fine. But I mean, why not? Obviously, Mbappe doesn't want to play that
I was gonna
role.
say he don't
Vinny's
want to
not going
play
to
that
play that
role yet.
role. Yeah, so bring in Ivan Toney. That would be amazing. I think that would be great. I would love that for Ivan Toney. Man, come from Brentford playing in League One or the Championship just a couple years ago, and now he's playing for Real Madrid.
Yeah.
100 million pound transfer. That would be
Yeah,
amazing.
that would be crazy. I'm
I mean,
for
I don't know
it.
what they'd pay for him, but yeah, I'm for it too. I mean, I would prefer he does that than doesn't go to Arsenal, then goes to like Chelsea or some other team in the Premier League where he's even more of a threat. That would be good. I would like that for him. I'm all for British players leaving England for a couple seasons and going and trying some new leagues. Like I love what Jude Bellingham's doing.
Yeah.
I think that more players should do it. I mean, Lukaku is not British, but they always talk about these like Premier League players leaving England, and I think that that's good not only for like for your development as a human being, but footballing too.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, speaking of English players or Premier League players, as it were, leaving England, Harry Kane left England. Spurs are in shambles. All respect meant and intended. Bayern Munich have found form in their last 3 matches, but are still in shambles. So Harry Kane over the weekend, he scored last night, set a record for most goals in a debut season. I think
Unbelievable.
unbelievable. Okay, this is where I don't want people to get mad at me. I don't have the numbers in front of me. Was it 31 goals?
I think it's 31 goals and 37 in all competitions or something, right? But yeah, look it up.
Yeah,
People
I'm
can.
gonna look it up. Yeah. Okay. 31 goals and counting. Could Kane break the Bundesliga scoring record? Okay. So that
What
is
is it?
so well, Robert Lewandowski set the record, and
Oh,
I believe it was
okay.
41 goals. But again, I feel like I need to check this so people don't scream at us. But I believe it was 41 goals. Yes, Robert Lewandowski haul for the most goals was 41 back in the 2021 season. Here's the question. Can Harry Kane break Robert Lewandowski's record?
So he needs 11 goals to beat it.
Something like that.
And aren't there like 10 games left or something? How many games are left?
Yeah, let's see. Bundesliga.
They've played 26.
Oh.
So 10 games left or 8 games left. So, I mean, at the rate he's going, jeez, he's got 31 in 26 games. They have 7 games left.
And he got injured because he ran into the
Eight
crossbar.
games, sorry. Yeah.
That sucked.
So 8 games left. Hope so. I mean, obviously, I don't care who they are. I don't wish like any ill will on anyone, but I'm hoping that he can't make it back in time for the Champions League against Arsenal, who they've yet again drawn.
Yeah, naturally. Yeah.
Honestly, with 8 games, I think he can beat it.
Okay.
I mean, that's like, if he's, it's just, yeah, he just has to score like a goal and a half a game. I think he can do it. And it's not like, I mean, I know a lot of people talk trash on like the French league or like South American league or something, but I'm not trying to be mad disrespectful, but it's like, come on. Aside from like Dortmund and Leverkusen, not a ton of intense competition in the German league. So they play like, I mean, come on. I don't see him. I mean, Eintracht Frankfurt might be the toughest game they have in that 8-game run till the end of the season. I mean, speaking of the league. So yeah, I think he's breaking that. I think he's breaking it on his debut season.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Unless he gets hurt. I'm saying 43 goals this season.
That's crazy. So the thing, but here, this is the thing. So obviously, I mean, you know how it is. I think he'll break the record as well. Lewandowski's record will be shattered or at least beaten. The question I think people are going to have, and this is just me being a little bit messy. Lewandowski got 41 goals in less games. So I think he did it. I can't remember, but I know he scored 41 in less games than.
Oh, really? Yeah,
probably. I think he only played like 26 games the season he scored 41. So Harry Kane, if he comes back, assuming his ankle injury from colliding with the post isn't.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, you know, one way or another, like he should break the record, but. I guess people are, maybe I'm just being messy, people are saying like, would that make him the best player? And I guess scoring the most goals wouldn't even necessarily make you the best player at any rate. But also, I guess, keeping yourself healthy enough to play more games also is on the individual. So I guess I'd say fair play, credit to Harry Kane if he breaks the record. But
right.
I guess there's, yeah, I can't. I was trying to be nasty and turn it into something negative, but... As I say it, there's...
Well, I think that he's still not the best player in Europe, even if he breaks. I still think that currently is going to Jude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. If we're talking, yeah, best player. Yeah. Jude for sure is... I think they were saying, like, if the Ballon d'Or happened... Like, if they did the Ballon d'Or right now, he would win the Ballon d'Or. Not that that matters. But, yeah. Yeah. No one's... I mean, no one's playing. No one's playing better than Jude right now. And then, you know, if Harry Kane's... I mean, listen, all I can say is England fans... Don't get too excited, but we got a legitimate chance. France
at what?
At the Euros. What you mean? What? At the Euros. At the Euros. Let's talk about let's end the call on this note. Now I'm excited. Who do you think has what it takes to win the Euros? Let me just say this. England has the best winger in Europe. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, maybe not the best winger in Europe, but a top three best winger. And when I say in Europe, I'm not talking players that play in Europe. Like Vinny Jr. is not in this conversation. He's a Brazilian.
Right.
I'm talking Saka. Okay, Mbappe is also probably the best winger, but Saka.
Yeah.
Okay, do they have the best striker in Europe? People might say it's Harry Kane. Okay, people might say it's Ivan Toney. Maybe I'm biased. Okay, they also have the best midfielder, Jude Bellingham. They also have a top five midfielder, your boy, Declan Rice. We have a good team. This is an opportunity for them to win. But who do you think could win the Euros this year?
I mean, France again. I don't think that there's a better team than probably. I mean, because it's what, 2 years removed from them being back to back World Cup finals. I would say France or Spain. I get your point. England does have, but then I just don't think they can put it together, especially under Southgate. I just don't think that they can do it. Because you look at like what Argentina did under Lionel Scaloni, like they don't have the best players in the world. Obviously they had the best player ever, but they don't have I just think that was a miraculously well or incredibly well coached team, managed team in all aspects. And I don't think that that's something, even with all the talent England has, I don't think Southgate knows how to, like, I'm just, maybe a little bit disrespectful. But
you're being extremely disrespectful.
Okay. I don't think he's the one.
Okay, so France or Spain? Okay.
Yeah.
What about Germany, their host?
I mean, yeah, definitely when, especially when you're the host, you can't put that past them. But man, Germany's been such a mess this last 4 years. It's they just haven't been able to really put anything together, obviously, being knocked out early out of like all these
Yeah, super early, like
competitions.
group stage early.
So again, like I mean, I don't know. Like I think that a lot of people don't put a lot of stock into coaching, but like Germany's arguably more talented. I mean, they have so much talent, and they're just not being able to put it together either. I'm like, is that on the players? Is that on the coach? Who knows? So I don't know. I don't know. Germany, I honestly think even Germany would have a better shot if they at than England if they could get the right players on the field and doing the right things at the right time. I don't know. I don't know. They're good. Germany's good, but I just don't think they're going to be able to pull it off. They're not really looking so good the last couple of tournaments. I mean, England, yeah, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Gareth Southgate, but he has his favorites, and he doesn't really like to venture out of that much.
All right.
Like, no disrespect to Jordan Henderson, but he's still making the cut.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, we'll see. He's in the he's with the camp for this international break that's coming up. He'll probably go to the Euros, you know?
Oh, he's going to the Euros. Yeah, he's definitely going to the Euros. He can sit the bench on Ajax and still go to the Euros. I think that, but I do think Spain and France. I mean, people are going to talk trash on Spain, but Spain's got that young team. They're always going to show up in tournaments. And obviously, you got France. Do you think England really can do it?
I got it.
If you were a betting man, would you bet on England?
No. If I was a
Who
bet,
would you bet
if I
on?
was a betting man, I would bet on France. If I was like, if I'm like, I mean, but I wouldn't bet on France because you bet on the sure thing. There's no money to be made. You know, you put down $100, you make seven. It's not worth it. But I tell you, I wouldn't bet on England winning. I think they can win it. Anyone could win it. I think they stand a good chance. Who do I personally think is going to win it? France. I think France will win the Euros. And then if.
And let me get this, like, sorry, go
No, I
ahead,
was going
keep
to say
going.
either France is going to win the Euros. And if they don't win the Euros, I would say Germany. Just because they're the host. And I feel like
It's home.
the host has an advantage in a tournament like this. So I would say I think Germany also stands a really good chance. I mean. We talked about managers. I like their manager. I think their manager can get the best out of them. I feel like I'll put it to you like this. Julian Nagelsmann, he was the RB Leipzig coach. He did a fantastic job. He was the Bayern Munich job or Bayern Munich coach. He was doing a great job until they replaced him for no reason. Like basically they replaced him for no good reason. He has great rapport with all of the German players. They respect him. They like him. Well, I'm Yeah, it's the higher ups at Bayern Munich that didn't like him because he was like too youthful and fun and dated a reporter. But I would say those are I would say Germany's like the dark horse, and I wouldn't like they haven't performed, but I think they can perform and they think they will perform at Euro 24.
Yeah, in their home country, I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Gareth Southgate or to England,
You
but I think that the one thing that kind of keeps him hung back behind is that he does like to keep his he doesn't rotate. I mean, he's like he keeps his guys, and it's a bit predictable what they do. So yeah, that's my opinion.
Yeah,
Like for example, Kieran Trippier, he's going to be the starting, I think, the whole time too.
I mean, I think most people could pick out what his lineup is going to be, and that will be his lineup for the entirety of the tournament unless someone gets injured. Oh boy, I'm still watching this Man U game. Scott McTominay looks like an offensive force playing Liverpool right now. They're playing so poorly. It's still 1-0, but anything, I guess before we get out of here, Brooks, I mean, I guess a couple high notes. Arsenal had a fantastic match. Well, I guess not really. Leandro Trossard had a goal against Porto, and then they went to penalties. And your boy DR had a fantastic session in the penalty kick shootout. But should you be worried
Amazing.
about the
I mean,
Porto was what? Well, just give me before we go. Just give me your thoughts on Arsenal in the Champions League, and then just give me like where you are with them finishing this season. We take it week by week.
Okay. Yeah, we definitely take a week break. But like, I was getting a little bit upset with all these comments. Like, imagine going to, penalties with Porto. I'm like, bro, first of all, they won the game. Second of all, it's their first season in Champions League in like 7 years. Porto, no disrespect, like Porto's there every season. They've been in Champions League back to back to like they're always in Champions League. It's not like they're like some, new up and coming team that's never been there before. Like, I would have been more embarrassed to be Porto going to a first, Arsenal first time in 7 years. Their like average age is 24 years old, and you're going to penalties them. Anyway, I thought that they played well in the second half, but the thing with Porto was that they like, I mean, in the second leg, Porto knows how to get under their skin. They know how to slow down the game, which Arsenal don't like. They know how to get under the skin of Arsenal and like upset them and fall and cry and scream foul every time. And that stops Arsenal. They don't know how to like get past that. So, I mean, yeah. They won the game, which is awesome. They obviously lost the first leg, won the second leg, won overall. I think that they, if they can get past Bayern Munich, they have a good chance of winning the Champions League. But I think that right now what their focus is the Premier League. I want both. We never won the Champions League. If they were to ask me what I would take, I would say Champions League this season. As
Really?
a neutral, who would you rather see Arsenal? Yeah. Who what would you rather see them
The
win? Champions League
league.
or Premier
The
League?
league.
You do?
100% the
You
league.
would?
Yeah, 100% the league. Champions
And
League.
why?
For as a neutral, I can't really technically be a neutral. I mean, I'm a Chelsea man, but if we're being honest, Arsenal is in my DNA. It's like
Yeah.
I can't deny, what's in the blood. I was born into it,
Yeah.
and I walked away. I turned my back on the family tradition. Okay, so I feel like Champions League, like just take it from me. Chelsea won Champions League a
Right.
couple seasons ago. They haven't done anything in the league. I would much rather them be successful or even be run, like I would much rather them win a Premier League than a Champions League.
Okay.
That so just having
Yeah, but also you've most recently won the Prem, not recently, but a Champions
Yeah,
League
that's what I was saying.
4 years ago, three
Yeah,
years
but
ago.
if someone said, would you have rather won the Champions League or the
Okay.
Premier League? And I think just like people say this, like they'll be like, oh yeah, like Champions League, it's the most prestigious club competition. But like at the end of the day, what is it, seven games? You just have to win.
Yeah.
Or like I guess in the group stage, you don't really like you could win, you could lose, you could draw. But at the end of the day, like it's about five or six games that you have to win
Yeah, once it
versus,
comes down to like this stage that we're in now, eight teams left. Yeah.
Whereas Premier League, I mean, you're doing it for like the majority of the year,
I get that.
38 games, consistency. I think there's like I'm not saying I don't want to say there's more prestige in the Europe or in the Premier League than there is the Champions League because that's not true, but I would rather win the Premier League than the Champions League if I was Arsenal, just because I feel like
Okay.
you would get more respect. Just I feel like I'm having a hard time articulating. I just feel like you would get more respect, like that you like built up to this and you like finished the job. Whereas it's like the Champions League, it's like
Yeah.
it's a knockout tournament. It could go any way, really, but so I
Yeah.
mean, ideally both. Just don't do the double, but I feel like it would be better for them to win the Premier League. That's all. What do you
Yeah, I think
disagree?
you're right. The only thing is, yeah, I think you're right, because it's also because like last year they were called they bottled it. Now they're in first place for the first time this season, I think. And so, if they lose, for example, to City, who they play in like 2 weeks, they're going to be called bottling it again. So I think that it's almost like, yeah, let's just focus on Premier League to get that out of the way, and then we can go. But yeah, because I think you're right. I mean, anybody can string together, a good run of form in Champions League after, the breaks away, and then you know how to prepare for the next whatever, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, anybody can put that together, but almost like a World Cup. You just got to be able to string together like a few good games. But yeah, the league, it's literally like, I'm looking at this Newcastle game where I personally feel like Arsenal was robbed when they shouldn't have lost that game. Mm-hmm. And it's like one, you know, you look at one game and it's like one game can literally like, you know, had that decision gone a different way, like it would be way more in their favor. They would have been riding first place for much longer, blah, blah, blah. And it would be more of, yeah, I don't know. It's just, yeah, one game really means a lot more, I think, in the grand scheme of the Premier League versus the first few rounds of Champions League.
Yeah. I'll say this too before, just a thought that was in my mind. It's like Chelsea went to a cup final this season, but we're in the bottom half of the table. So had we won the Carabao Cup, like the takeaway would still be we had a poor season versus if we were at like even contending for a Champions League spot and we lost the Carabao Cup, they would be like, oh yeah, they are a force to be reckoned with. So I just feel like, or even like, I mean, I keep bringing Chelsea up, like anytime we won the Champions League, we have done horrible in the Premier League. So it's just like, we've never actually been a great team when we've won the Champions Leagues, but I feel like you can't win the league without being unanimously recognized as being a great team. Like there's no debate. Like
that's a good point.
Like if you win the league, you were great. If you win the Champions League, you might have been. Sometimes Man City was great when they won. Barcelona was great last time they won it when they won the treble. You know, this is undisputed, but. You know, head in.
Yeah, like there's been times where Barcelona won the league, and then but that season Real won Champions League, so it's like
there's little. I feel like there's like a little bit of ambiguity with like how great were you really? Like, I mean,
I get it.
I'm trying to think. Like Inter Milan, I guess, could have won Champions League instead of Man City last year, but Man City was still the better team. It would have. It's just a one. Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to diminish it because it is like it means a lot. I just feel like. It means more when it's under, like when it's accompanied with something else. And it's just like, oh yeah, they just, it's like March Madness. Like, oh yeah, like the underdog, like rose to the occasion. They got like all the breaks and won. It's like, but like, they're still Duke is still the better team, but like, you know, Villanova got lucky. Okay. No one cares. Shout out to Villanova. Anyway, anything else we need to say before we get out of here for the week, Mr. Guerrero?
No, just every week that I watch him play, I keep thinking of how you call, like how much you love this man. And I was sleeping on him, Declan Rice.
It's a national treasure. Protect him at all costs. He's a good player. He should be the captain. Honestly, they need to take the armband off of Odegaard and put it on his arm.
Actually, I was wondering that. Like, you think that how disrespectful would that be if they were like, okay, Odegaard, like, we just need to hand this over because, you know.
He'd have to understand that. British. He'd have to understand that, man. You know, he's British. Right? He's British, you know. He's the boss.
Do you see that happening, or you think Odegaard's going to stay captain as long as he's there?
I feel like it probably doesn't need to happen. Let Odegaard keep it. It's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
Like, everyone's gonna listen to Declan Rice anyway. Like he'll be in charge anyway. You know who's Saka gonna side with? Declan. You know who's Ben White gonna side with? He's British. I mean, he's Irish, but he's British. You know.
Yeah.
It's Declan. You know he's big. He's tall. He's Declan Rice. He was the captain of West Ham when he was like 18 or something like that. Yeah. So, but then, I mean, Odegaard's a great captain as well, though. I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about Martin Odegaard, you know. Good kid. But yeah, he's not in charge at that club. Mikel Arteta's not even really in charge. It's Declan's club. That's all.
Declan's back there on the phones, pulling the strings, making calls.
He said, "What's the director of sporting's name? Is it Edu? Edu, yeah. Him and Edu drawing up plans for the summer transfer window.
Declan goes from a suit and tie to the high socks and jersey and
the tuck. All right, guys, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you for supporting us here on the Abrazo Football Podcast. We will catch you in a week's time. Peace.